So next, Joe Brown. All right. If y'all be fine, look at Matthew. We'll start in Matthew chapter 5 and talking about shining his light. The world is in a lot of darkness in a lot of ways. And God uses us to be the greatest light and instruments on the earth. If we don't shine the light, then who does? If we're not the light, who is? And Jesus talks about this to his disciples. You know, your light, your testimony, your actions, the way you talk to people, the way you live your life really does follow you. And there are people that by seeing your light will call you because of what they saw in you. It may not be for a long time, but when the crisis hits, the problem arises, they'll remember you and say, you know what? You always shine the light of God. You always were there. You always loved. You always demonstrated, you know, whatever. And they'll call you and say, can you help me? Can you love me? I need help. So our light's very important. And there's a responsibility we carry as Christians for that light. There's a great responsibility. You know, we're great about focusing on the negative things. You see Facebook posts all the time that, you know, if I post this, I'll get all these hits. But if I post something positive and good, nobody looks at it. That's kind of true, isn't it? But they're looking at it more than you realize. And that's what we got to be aware of. Our light does follow us. And Jesus talked to disciples here. And, you know, I said last week, I believe it was, that, you know, or a couple weeks ago, that to me as a pastor, my whole objective is about ministry. It's not about, you know, building projects, even though, you know, we do need more space. We need programs that are important for our children. All that's great. But if it gets away from ministry, it's really of none effect. It's about ministry. It's about lives being changed. It's about, and I get a lot of positive feedback. And Randy, I had somebody other week talk about someone in the nursery was telling the whole story of Jesus, and they couldn't believe it in the nursery. This is nursery age. And so that's what it's about. It's about ministry. It's about learning about God. It's about being a witness and a light to others. It's about helping others out of their darkness, because there are people, and I played a video about a year ago called Magic Glasses, where a guy's real nasty and real frustrated. He about hits him on the road, then the Starbucks line's backed up, and then he's late for work, the traffic's jam, he's just grumbling about everything, you know, like most of us do, just whine about everything. Then all of a sudden, a guy walks up to him and says, put these glasses on, and he starts seeing people what they're really going through. He starts seeing the real brokenness. He starts seeing the real problems, the real struggles. He starts really seeing what their lives are like. Then all of a sudden, we really know what people's lives are like. It makes us, or should want to make us, be that light to help them, to shine the way. That when they're in darkness, I mean, the first thing you do when your power goes out in your home, if it's nighttime, is you try to find a light, don't you? Find something, a candle, a cigarette lighter, whatever, a cell phone, whatever light you can get to try to find some light. First thing you want to do. So as Christians, our objective should be, when we know someone's in darkness, we're that light. And you know what? A light's never judgmental. A light's never condemning. A light's never throwing stones. A light is leading the way. Leading the way. A light leads someone out of their darkness into where it's safe. That's what a light's all about. That's why Jesus says, follow me. Tell the disciples, follow me. Drop your nets, drop this, follow me. I'm going to make you fishermen of men. I'm going to give myself into you, pour my life into you, and then you're going to go out and be the light and the witnesses to others that they see me through you. See, Jesus in the flesh is off the earth. Jesus of Galilee no longer walks the shores. He has ascended. He has sent us back a comforter. He sent us back the Holy Spirit to fill us, to indwell us, and to teach us all things, and that people see our Father through our lives. You know, we all, most of us in here have kids or grandkids, stepkids, whatever, you know, some kids in your life that you've raised. And your kids reflect you poorly or good. And most time in their life, it's both. You know, it depends on what day it is. They can reflect you. And so when you see someone runs into, there have been people that's ran to me that said, are you David Lewis's son? Yeah. You look like him. You look like, I used to work with him, and you look like you'd be his son. Yeah, I am. See, they're seeing that reflection of my Father in me. We should be seeing, Melanie says, I walk like my dad a lot. She's got me on camera at the beach through the years walking. The behind shot. Walking. Like that looks, got the bald spot there, the walk. You would swear at my dad. Yes. And I reflect my father. Our children reflect us. You know why? Because our seed is in our children. And then that seed produces fruits of the father and the mother. And so as Christians, when we get born again, we accept Jesus' nature into our lives. It changes our hearts, or supposed to change our hearts, to where then we become a walking, living light to others, that when they see us, they see Father. When they see us, they see our Creator. When they see us, they see our Savior. When they see us, they know something's different. They can say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Without saying a word. Because of your life. Because of your light that you shine. There's just something about you that's different, because we now have the seed of God in us. And that seed of God produces His children. And His children should reflect who He is. Of course, we're going to make mistakes. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to do a lot of things we hope YouTube don't catch and post everywhere. I understand that. But as a whole, as we journey through our lives, we ought to be very mindful that the light of God goes with us, and that people are observing us. And when they find out you're a Christian, they're observing you a little bit closer to see, are they really living what they believe? Are they really living what they teach? Are they really living what they follow? Are they really living it? Or are they Christian by name only? Or are they really being the light? So Jesus, in this chapter, is talking to the disciples. And before we get to verse 14, this is the, he's talking, you know, the Beatitudes, they call them. Blessed are the poor, da-da, blessed are this. He's giving his disciples a message and a lesson here of what's important. And verse 12, which is not on the screen, but verse 12, Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So he's warning them that they will be persecuted because of following Jesus. There will be persecution for that. But count it all joy. Your reward in heaven for the light you shine in earth is much greater than any reward in earth you'd ever get by not shining your light. It's a much greater reward. You know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added to you. Seek first my kingdom. Seek me. Lay not treasures up for yourselves on the earth, but lay them up in heaven. He was always talking about getting out of this rim into a higher rim. And how do we get other people to that rim? By being the light and showing them, look, you can't take your money with you, your possessions with you, your stuff with you. It all stays behind. What's important is what happens next. What's important is what happens after. Because there are people that are walking around in darkness, plenty of money, but they're in darkness, plenty of stuff, but they're in darkness, seem to be having a good time, but they're in darkness. And one day, that darkness will give way to an eternity. So what's our job as believers, as the body of Christ? And I love the last year or so, as God has sent so many new families to our church and new faces, I'm seeing more of you reach out, more of you inviting people, more of you saying, hey, come visit our church. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, being that light to say, hey, there's something here that you might like. There's something here that can help. There's something here that can change your life. That's what it's about. It's the light being on. That steeple on top of this church, to me, is just one big light. It's a light saying Jesus is here, and we want all to come and hear what he has to say. So we get into verse 14. You are the light of the world. Jesus says, we're the light. Now, we know Jesus was the light, of course, the original light. But he says, look, you're going to be the light that shines who I am. You're going to be the light. It's kind of like the battery in a flashlight. The battery is Jesus. It powers everything. But our hand's the one that guides the light. Our hand's the instrument for the battery. So our lives are simply instruments for God's use. It's not us that is technically the light, but we're the instruments that shine that light. We're the ones God used to say, okay, speak something. You know, I was over to church yesterday. I had to meet someone yesterday evening. And before they got there, I was in my office and just felt impressed to text someone something very simple. Just came in my heart just in a moment. I'm over there, wasn't even thinking about this person, but it just came to me. And I text this person, I want you to know how much I love you. That's all I text. And the person responded back with a very, of course, positive message with that. Now, I don't know what that person at that moment was really going through, if it was timely on their end, but I know what I felt impressed to be, to say right there, something that simple. You know what that is? That's letting God use us as a light to say, hey, you're loved. And I love you too. God, God saying, I love you and you're loved. We're just the instruments. We can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. We're just simply the instrument God uses. But He does want us to be used. And He does want us to exercise the gifts He's given us. And all of us as Christians have the gift of being His light. All of us have that. We're supposed to be a light. We don't hoard it up and hold it in and go around grouchy and nasty and mean at people and snapping at them and, you know, then say, oh, by the way, church starts at 10. Are you kidding me? Really? You go to church? We're to be a light. You know what a light does? A light expels darkness. A light shows a clear path. A light shows safety. A light shows truth. Light represents understanding. It represents wisdom. It represents revelation. Well, God revealed Himself to us. Aren't you glad God revealed Himself to you as truth? See, everybody don't have that revelation. You can't make someone believe in God. It has to be a revelation that comes to them that says, oh, yes, God, you are real. You are alive. You are the Creator. You did raise from the dead. You are the Messiah. You are the only Lamb of God. Yes, Lord, you are, by your blood, the only way into salvation. That's a revelation. That's a light. So what's our job? We can't make someone be saved, but we can sure lead them to the water. We can at least lead them to the water. And then let the Holy Spirit say, okay. And then let that revelation begin just to rise up in the hearts. It's a beautiful thing to just let God give us what we need. And people are needing a touch from God. Sunday morning was a beautiful service. Was Sunday morning not a beautiful, powerful service? You know, when we allow God just to, Lord, just touch me and help my needs, heal me. God, bring healing to me, whatever. We have a God that hears that and that cares for that. And there are people that have so many chains that have bound them through their past failures or mistakes or sins or the way they were raised or their environment or whatever. So many things that they chain themselves to. And they're wondering, is there a place for me to see the light? What is the truth? Because I don't know anymore. So our job is to point them to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. You are the light. A city on a hill that cannot be hid. Go to the next verse. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick and give light to all that are in the house. Now that's what a great teaching this is of Jesus' teaching here, showing us your power goes out at 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't light a candle and stick it under your bed. The only thing that's going to do is burn your house down. Be a lot of light then, I guess. But, flashing lights and all. But, you don't hide it under a bed. You light the candle, and manly normally is the one that does that. I think the women do that kind of thing. You know, they go start lighting the candles and, you know, getting light. And she starts lighting the, and she starts holding it, and then all of a sudden it lights the hall. She sets one in the kitchen. That's an important part of the house, you know. Sets one in the kitchen. Sets one in the living room so everybody can see how to go and where to go. When you light something, you don't hide it. Just like the lighthouse grandma was talking about, what good would a lighthouse do if the light was hid? You know how the light rotates around. The light rotates around. Wouldn't do any good if there's a cover of the light. It'd just be a rotating darkness instead of a rotating light. We are supposed to shine our light so all in the house, all that God puts in our lives, sees who we serve, sees who we believe in. Because you never know who's waiting on you. And I believe God positions people in the right place at the right time for us to cross their path and say, I've been waiting. You know, Ron and Amy Daniels, who moved to West Virginia, and I hope they'll move back one day. Most of them do that go up there. They come back and forth. So maybe they will. But when I went door knocking, I don't know who was with me for that. I went with different people. I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was Joe or somebody. But we went door knocking. She answered the door. She lived around the corner down 21 here. And I said, I'm James, Pastor Living Word. Just wanted to invite you. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you come visit us. We're pretty new in the area. Da, da, da. You know what she said? She said, you're not going to believe this. First time I ever met her now. Stand at the front door. I'm outside on the porch. You're not going to believe this. We've been looking for a church for our family, and I didn't know where to go. We just moved from West Virginia. I don't know anything about the area. I don't know, you know, I want a church that, you know, teaches the word. I want to be able to feel the Spirit of God. You know, we didn't know where to go. And I prayed last night that God would send me someone to know where I should go to church at. And today you knock on my door. So they came, and they were part of our church for several years. They moved back to West Virginia. See, God positioned that light in the right moment for her darkness. I'm unclear where to go. I don't know where I should start. And then here's God showing up. Can't you see God up there going, wringing his hands, watch this. This is cool. He's going to knock on that door, and she's going to say, oh, you're not going to believe this. And the pastor going to get all excited because God, because I used him, is like, it's going to be a dynamic combination. And he just don't know. And they're from West Virginia. He just don't know all that. And they're going to be part of church and going to be a part of church family. And God knew all that. So all God asks us to do is that we just shine what we already have. All of us have the light of Jesus if we're saved. All of us. We don't have to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a worship leader or a singer. We just have to show what God's already shown us. Jesus loves you. He helped me. He can help you. He saved me, and I was bad. You weren't bad as me? Oh, yeah, I was bad. Define bad. Because people tell you don't know, Pastor. I've did a lot. You know what? Sin, sin. I mean, sin, sin. Don't matter if you got drunk off Budweiser, if you got high on Coke. Sin, sin. Damage is damage. Problems are problems. And God came to fix them all and to help them all and to help all of us. He came to save the lost. I love where Jesus says, a physician goes to those that are sick. I didn't come to save the ones that don't need it. What does that mean? Because we think, well, we all need it. But they didn't want it. They didn't recognize they were sick. They didn't acknowledge they were sick, spiritually speaking, I mean. They thought they knew and they had it all. Don't need it. I've got it. But you really don't. But they don't know that. But man, the ones that wanted it, they got it. Little Zacchaeus, my Lord, this crooked tax collector, in his position of importance in the community, climbed a tree to see Jesus. We got folks who won't walk next door to see Jesus. Won't open their own door to see Jesus. Climbed a tree. And Jesus passed his way and saw Zacchaeus up there. And he didn't say, man, what are you doing in a tree? Are you okay? He knew why he was there because he told him, says Zacchaeus, know why you're there. That's what he's really was saying. Come on down. I'm going to save you. You're mine now. And he climbed down that tree and life was changed. And you know how we know his life was changed? He went and paid back the money he had ripped people off of. You ever had anybody come back and pay you back money they ripped you? You ever had a car salesman and said, you know what? I'm feeling really guilty. And I could have got that $2,000 less and I told you I couldn't. Here's $2,000. You ever had that happen to you? Shoot, no. Because there ain't no saved car sales. I'm just playing. I'm just so playing, y'all. I mean, that took real heart to say that. To go back and give money back because your heart had been changed that much. It just showed. Naaman, this great authority figure in his day, high position, well thought of, Naaman, had to go be dipped in the Jordan to get rid of his leprosy. He didn't want to be dipped in the Jordan. It was nasty. It was muddy. At first, he said, you ain't got some better river for me? I mean, you know who I am. Everybody's going to be gawking at me. You want me to get in this nasty, muddy water? You won't be healed, yeah. And he stepped out, and God healed him. Now, you know why it's important that we are the light? That God gets all the glory. Naaman was healed by the power of God. It was a supernatural miracle. Zacchaeus come back to pay back money. That was a miracle. It showed the glory of a changed heart. When we shine our light, it's for the purpose of pointing people not to us and our good works, but to the good work that Christ did for us. That's what it points them to. Man, you ever known somebody that was really bad and then they got saved and they completely changed their lives? You're like, wow, you're nothing like you were. It's awesome. That's how it's supposed to be, a transformed life. The Bible says the old things pass away, all things become new. Put on the new man. Should be a new man. Put on the new coat, as Grandma sings. Two coats. The one was tattered, the one was torn, but the new coat, it fit me, and it was warm. It took care of me. There's a new coat God has, and when we get that new coat, we don't just hoard it, we share it. I got a coat for you. You want to wear my coat? I got a coat I can help you. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, he don't run out of coats. He's got one for you. Let your light so shine before men, just what I said here, that they may see your good works and glorify God. When they see the works of your light, it points them to the one that gave it to you. Because in this world of sin and perversion and crookedness, for a human being to shine the light of God speaks volumes. You're different. You're honest. You're loving. You're non-judgmental. You're compassionate, you're caring, you're temperate, you're humble, you're meek. Those are qualities I don't see a lot. Why are you that way? Because of Jesus. Because the light he shined upon me changed me. And I want that light to shine upon you. We have an obligation as a Christian to help others get out of the darkness. And that's not always easy. And it's not always fun. And there are some nasty, mean people that will fight you and rebel and maybe not want it, but that's okay. Just be the light. Because they're watching. They're watching. And they know who they can count on when the chips are down. And you'll get a phone call one day and say, you just always seem to serve God and love God. You're always there. I need some help. And then God can use you. Let your light be seen that people see God in you. The best way they're going to see God is through his people. I mean, yes, God still speaks, and God can still do one-on-one visitations with people. God can show you dreams. But as a whole, we as his body are the biggest instrument he uses to shine his light, that others will see, wow. And all of us have such a call in our lives, church. We have a call in our lives to shine that and to be that for others. Because there are folks that won't help, and they won't rescue, and they won't deliverance, and they won't healing, and they won't hope. Is there any hope for me? Yes. Where's the hope at? I'll show you. Follow me. Light your candle. Follow me. Here's your hope. It started right here on a hill called Mount Golgotha. A man named Jesus who bore all your pain, who bore all your iniquities, who bore all your sin, who forgave you of all your trespasses, and who loves you unconditionally. We're in such an unloved generation. We're in such a unloved, people are just so quick to just dismiss you, cut you off, but not God. And that's the light that we need to be shining. Go to the next scripture. This is Ephesians 5, 8. You are sometimes in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. So he tells us what? Paul says, walk as those children of light. Walk as them. See, our ministry, all of our ministry, my ministry as well, is much more outside these four walls than inside these four walls. We got to walk out that life. We got to walk it out. Not just say we know Jesus, but show them that we know Jesus by the way we live our lives, by the way we carry ourselves, by the words we speak, by the actions we do. Yes, I'm a child of light, and I want to help you. I want to show you the way. Go to the next scripture. Now, Romans 12, we'll read 10 through 21. And this kind of is, this is our relation to society, so to speak. This is how we, as God's people, this should be sort of our behavior. It should be kind of what we produce as a seed. And let's see how we line up with this. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You know what this means? We exalt each other above ourselves. That's true Christian love. When we care more about other people than our own selves, when we exhort them, we lift them above our own needs. Say, you know what? You're worse than I am. You're in a worse place than I'm in. I want to help you. We're to exemplify that. That's part of the changed heart, that we have a compassion for others. Now, I know you're not abused by those people, and some people can drain your life, and they can just be leeches that God may say you got to, you know, let go of. But as a whole, we are to love each other. That's why Sunday morning we pray at the end, and I want you to pray for the one you're holding their hand instead of yourself. I want you praying for them because so many battles are going on. And to pray for someone else releases something in us when we can lift someone else up. I want to challenge you to that. Pray for other people and just see what that does in your spirit. Be not slothful in your business. Be not lazy, in other words. In your what business? Business for God. Fervent spirit, serving the Lord. We should be serving the Lord with joy, with expectation, with strength. Not slothful, not lazy. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to do it. But be happy about it. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? Patient in tribulation. Because these are tribulating times, church. But in tribulation, we can be patient. You know why? Because God's in our tribulation. Did you know that? God's there. This tribulation ain't rattling God's cage. He's there. He's like, just trust me. Remember the story of Joseph? One of the favorite stories to me of the Old Testament, one of my characters I really love. I love David, but I love Joseph. Joseph had been arrested and imprisoned falsely. He was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife wanted him. Joseph refused. He says, my master, I can't have you. You're my masters. You're my leaders. You're not mine. I can't. You're off limits. But she wanted Joseph so bad. She kept coming after him. Well, he actually fled from her, ran from her. I can't have nothing to do with this. Well, she accused Joseph of coming on to her. Of course, he got mad, as any husband would. He's got any decency. He loves his wife. You come on to my wife? No. She said you did. Well, you're going to prison. Joseph served two and a half years, I think it was, in prison, falsely. He was one of the true ones that could hold a sign up saying, I didn't do it, and be accurate. I'm innocent. I was set up. Truly be honest. 2 years. Now, Joseph, you talk about tribulation. Poor Joseph, you know, he got cast into a pit to die, first of all. By his brothers. Not by strangers. His own family. Can you imagine you dropping Sam in a pit to die, walking away? See ya. What evil that was. But it was jealousy, of course. So he dropped him in a pit. Then they said, well, we don't want him to die. So, because of dad, so let's get him. They saw this little Ishmaelite band coming by of people, and they sold him. So now you sold Sam. So at first, you dropped him in a pit to die. I can't do that. So you sold your brother to other people. So he went away, come back, lied to the father about where Joseph was. Well, then Joseph finds favor immediately, gets, promoted, whatever. Then this happens. Now he's in prison. 2 years, 2.5 years in prison, falsely. Talking about tribulation. But you know what? God set all that up. Because there was a baker and what was the other one in prison with him? Yes, thank you. I knew you would know. Nice having you in here. A cupbearer and a baker. And they had dreams. And Joseph interpreted those dreams. And both of them came true. And so when the baker or the cupbearer, whichever, got out, and the king had a dream nobody could interpret. None of his witch doctors could do it. None of his magicians could do it. Nobody could interpret this dream. The one in prison with Joseph says, Master, there was a man in prison with me. He interpreted my dream and my friend's dream. They both came to pass. Well, call him up. And as soon as they called him up, the king told him the dream. Joseph interpreted it. And boom, he was promoted to Prince of Egypt to implement the plan that Joseph said he needed to do. He went from a prisoner to a prince. Tribulation, but he was patient. And God was moving all the time. We may feel like we're in prison right now. We may feel like that we're, in tribulation right now. But as Christians, we're never, ever bound by the hand of the enemy. God's always got us.
so we can be patient in that, and we can keep shining that light even in tribulation. I might be discouraged, but I'm going to shine my light. I may feel like I'm bound, but I'm going to shine my light, because the light in me doesn't ever die, church. The light doesn't blow out. The light remains steadfast all the time, because the light is an everlasting flame that ceases to ever burn out, because God is the light. So we still got it. You may not feel like you're lit up, so to speak, but if you got Christ, you are all the time. The light's always on. Be patient in tribulation and continuing instant in prayer. That's how we are as Christians. So, the way we shine our light, we're patient, we're praying, we're not lazy in our service, we're rejoicing in our hope. Then it goes on to say, we distribute to the necessity of saints, and we're given to hospitality. And I want to brag on y'all. I really do. I wish more were here, and I need to brag on a Sunday morning to the crowd. But me and Melanie get a lot of feedback as pastor and, you know, first lady of the church. A lot of feedback from the people that come for the first time, new people, new families. The love they feel here. The guitar player that was here, Jack, he'll be back this Sunday, that played the guitar Sunday morning, says, I want to thank you, James. Says, your folks were absolutely, I felt so welcomed. Everybody showed such hospitality. I felt so warm. And says, it caught me off guard because I'm not, this is what's sad, I'm not really used to that. That's what he said. I'm not used to that. He said it was just so refreshing and nice that everybody shows, and he actually used that word, hospitality. He used it. He said everyone was so hospitable, is what he said, to me Sunday. One of the people we had for the first time this past Sunday morning told me, or told someone else that got to me, said when they walked on the grounds and walked in, they felt such a love in this building. First time here. See, that's your light shining. Oh, that's your light shining. That's what it's about. See, that light draws people into his presence because they want to be around it. It's like them bug machines that zap insects. Bless their hearts, they can't help it. They know they're probably saying, I'm going to die, but I can't stop. I mean, they know they're going to fry like a bacon in a pan, but they can't stop because the light draws them. The light's going to draw you. It's going to draw people out of darkness. I mean, you can preach and judge and have all the, like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, you can have all the revelations, all the gifts, all the great prophetic word, but if you don't have love, you don't have nothing. Because without love, it's of no effect. And the greatest light we shine is our love for each other, to let them know, I care for you, and you're important to God. Doesn't matter how you look, how you dress, where you come from, what you've done, you're important to God. So I just want to thank y'all for the love you show all of our new folks that come. We get so much positive feedback on that. I really appreciate that. Now look at this. This is a hard one for us right here. This is a hard one. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them and curse them not. Boy, that's a tough one, ain't it? Must be tough for Brenda back here. That's a tough one. Bless them that curse you. You know what that does? It shows your light. Shows your light, that your light for God is brighter than their cursing of you. That your light for Jesus is stronger than the hate someone else has against you. It shows them who you really are. Bless them and don't curse them. Boy, that's a tough one. Go to the next one. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now, why would he say that? Why would Paul say this? Let's look at that verse a minute. Did you know there are people that don't always rejoice when others rejoice? Instead, they get jealous, or they talk about them, or they say, why can't that be me? Rejoice with others when they're blessed. And when they're in sorrow, don't kick them in the gut, but you weep with them. You cry with them. You hold them, and you love them. If you're going through on a mountaintop, I'm glad and I'm celebrating with you. And when you're down the valley and beat, I'm there with you too. That shows love. We should never want someone beat down. We should be happy they're blessed. And we should be sorrowful when they're in a bad place. That's Christian love. That's our light shining. Our light shines when they're in victory, and our light shines when they're in defeat. But our light should shine. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. As Christians, our light should never punish someone. It should never pay someone back. It should never try to get back at them, even if it's subtle or if it's, you know, hidden or behind the scenes. We should not try to pay evil back for evil. That diminishes who we are in Christ. Think about Jesus, our greatest example. The Bible says, through all of his process, Isaiah prophesied it, and it came to pass, that he was beaten, talked about, spit upon, abused, whipped 39 times on the whipping post. All this happened to him. But it says he went like a lamb to the slaughter and openeth not his mouth. He openeth not his mouth. It means he didn't condemn. He didn't fuss back. He didn't try to get out of it. He simply went on his job like he was supposed to have done all the way to the cross. And he endured for us. That's what he was called to do, and he knew that. My call is to die for mankind. And he did it with humility. He did it with love. He did it with grace. And he did it without opening his mouth. Our greatest example of the light shining to the very end. And one of the last things he breathed while he could breathe on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're talking about not paying evil back for evil, not blessing them that cursed him. Wow. Forgive them. Forgive the ones that gave me 39 stripes across my back with bones that ripped my flesh out like a T-bone steak. Forgive the ones that spit in my face and cursed me with four-letter words. Forgive those who mocked me and blasphemed against me. God, forgive those who put the nails in my hands and feet. Forgive those who stuck them thorns in my head. Forgive those who made fun of me and said I wasn't the Messiah. Forgive those who doubted and says you're nobody and you're worthless and mocked me by putting a sign, King of the Jews. Forgive them, God. Forgive them. That's what he said. Forgive them. What the greatest example we have of that light is what Jesus did. And everybody says, yeah, but we're not Jesus. No, we're not. But we carry his spirit and we carry his light and we are born again and we are his seed. And we should reflect how our Father is in this earth, walking in forgiveness. It'd be hard for us to say that. Forgive him, Lord. I love when I see scenes of parents that when someone maybe murders their child, you'll see where the mother goes to that murderer. Says, I forgive you. I forgive you. Or goes to the mother of the murderer and says, you lost a son too, because they're gone with the rest of their lives in prison. You're going through something, and I'm sorry for you. That's compassion. Oh, that's love. We know hate gets us nowhere. Hate hurts us more than anybody else. Evil hurts us more than anybody else. Not shining our light hurts us more than anybody else. If we could learn to serve others the way we want to serve ourselves, we would make an impact in this generation like you wouldn't believe. But you know, we got, even our terminology now, we got self-serve cash registers, self-serve ice cream, self-serve. We know what that means, you serve yourself. But it's kind of an innuendo. You don't think about self-serve. We should never be self-serving as Christians. We should be others-serving as Christians. We should always be reaching out, shine the light to someone else, helping them find their way. Because there are ships that are still lost at sea right now. And they're praying to God that the right light flashes in their eyes. And they hear a clear voice. Think about in the old days, and them ships were on those waters along the East Coast. We had all them beautiful lighthouses lying on the East Coast. And they would be out there. You got to realize, no cell phone, no GPS, no navigation. I mean, you're going by the stars and the lighthouses. That's what you got. And they're out there at 2 o'clock in the morning in a deep, dark space ocean. And they've lost their bearings. The storm's thrown them off course. The wind's coming. Wait, whatever. They don't have no idea where they're at. And they're all looking around up on them towers, them crow's nests, them telescopes, trying to find any. And all of a sudden, they see what looks like a lightning bug. Captain! Like I see something. See something flashing? Follow the flash. And the flash gets bigger and bigger and bigger as they get closer. And they're thanking their lucky stars. Praise be. This light's led us to safety. That's what we do as God's people. We lead others to the safety of His kingdom. We lead them out of the darkness of being lost and now being found. We lead them out of those deep waters that's going to destroy them and lead them to the shore where they are secure. That's what we do as the light. And always can be a light. You got to preach to them. Just be a light. Just reach out to someone and let them know you care for them. You love them. You're there for them. If you need me, call me. And then don't ignore the phone call. Don't hit the silence button every time they call. If you go say at church, do it. How many stories I hear as a pastor? Pastor, they said they'd be there for me. Ain't nobody there for me. I call and they all cut me off. Sure, it takes away from our personal time. Sure, it may be an inconvenience in our daily life, so to speak. But what an impact we're making for eternity. What an impact. You know, I look at Randy back here, and a lot of churches don't realize, I don't think how hard he works. And he, not only does he do our children's ministry here, but he also does a robotics class that he teaches all these kids and meets with them weekly and has events he goes to and travels with these kids and spends all that time working with them. And he works a full-time job. And he works here at the church helping with the kids. All that's investing in other lives. It's all it's about. Investing in other people. Sowing those seeds. And that song that is, you know, that song, One Day in Heaven. I'm thinking Michael Combs. The one, Thank You, Lord. When we're in the kingdom of God and God says, look around. Look around, Randy. All the kids through the years, all the young people. See that whole circle over there? They're all waiting on you. Because that's, I use you to reach all them. So go say hi to them. And they got a robot surprise for you. It's the best robot of all. Each of us are going to have that circle because we were the light. Each of us. Dave and Tori, Joe, is a couple that's part of your circle. And there have been many others in your life. I know you're not quite 71, but there's been many others in your life. And I know that. But I was in Best Buy this morning down in Mooresville and thought about you. I thought about, I was sitting there, I was like, man, this is where Joe Brown was when he talked to Dave and Tori. And Joe Brown went up this little young guy. And you got to realize, Joe's a different generation. Way different generation than who he talked to that day in Best Buy. He sees this young man in Best Buy. At that time, he's only about 21 years old, this young man. Got talking to him. Said, you got a church you go to, son? No, I don't. You got to come visit our church. Where's it at? Statesville. Oh, okay. That boy, his wife showed up. They got connected, and they stayed too until they moved to Kansas. They got four kids now. She had her fourth kid, Sharon. Four kids. Too much time on the hands, if you ask me. Four kids. But this little young couple, 21 years old, who Joe just introduced and invited to church, came here for many years. They moved to Kansas, and they are plugged into a church out there, and they go to church on a regular basis, and they're very involved. Just because Joe was a simple light to say, hey, you don't know their lives might have been without that invitation. Who knows where they would be? They just moved here in the area, didn't know anybody. Young couple just got married. You know how hard that is when you first get married. You're not struggling. Just ain't grown up yet. And, boy, I miss them. They were so special, so sweet. Yeah, David actually he was in the area about 6 months ago, I guess, now or so. Called me and came out of the house for a while and visited with me. It was awesome to see him. He stayed about an hour. But, just that light, that simple light is all it takes. And that little, as you know, as Smokey the Bear says, you don't take but a little flame to spark a forest fire. All it takes is that one little touch from God to spark a revival, to spark a transformation, to spark a family being saved, a generation being saved. And we are the ones. Think about, when you go to a concert, they do a lot of concerts. We went to Winter Jam last time. You know, they sometimes they turn the lights out where it's real dark, except for the stage. And let's say everybody take your cell phone out on this song and wave it in the air. And everybody puts their lights and their cell phones on. Now, if there's only one or two lights lit up, you wouldn't be able to even tell, right? But when you got 10,000 cell phones out, oh, it's like a city set on a hill. Each one of us makes the difference, and together we make more difference. One at a time. It's just that one at a time. I am so thankful the way God has used me. Little Carl Caspero, which Joe knows, and my parents remember little Carl. Some of y'all remember Carl. He's living, I think, in Winston or Lexington or somewhere now. But little Carl, his sister was coming here and called me one day. He was in his early 20s at the time and says, he's been talking about God. He wants to be saved. Can you come talk to him? So I drive to Mooresville. We go out to his car because his sister, her husband's in the house. He wanted to be alone. We sat in his car, or my car, one of them, out on the road in front of that house. We talked. We joined hands. We prayed the prayer of salvation. He started coming to church. He was baptized. He went door knocking with us. And he's still in church. He's heavily loves God. He calls me once every month or two to check on me and keep up with me. All that started with a prayer sitting in a car. He is now married with two kids. Everybody I pray for multiplies. Y'all want prayer? Do what? He was an atheist before, yes. He was an atheist, didn't believe in a God at all. And now he's the most humble, spiritual guy you ever meet. Church, it's that light. See, we got to be used. I mean, it's like, saying, well, God can't use me. It's like going to a restaurant, ordering a meal with no cooks in the kitchen. I want number six combo. Nobody's in the kitchen. I want it. But I got to have cooks to make it. Well, can't God just do it? Well, he needs somebody with a spatula in their hand. I mean, spiritually, we just think, well, God can definitely still do miracles. I mean, God can do whatever he wants. I mean, God could drop a helicopter in your backyard with nobody flying it with a $10,000 bundle hit your yard. Yeah, he can do it. Probably won't happen that way, but he can do it. But the more practical plan is he uses us. He uses us to be the light. He uses us to be the blessing. He uses us to be the witness. We're the seed sowers. He's the harvest grower. That's how it works. We just sow the seed, and then God gives the increase. We sow it. God grows it. We plant it, God grows it. We give it out, God brings it back. That's how God works, but he has to have sowers. Gail, if you ever went out in the summer and not planted a garden and went out there and says, why ain't nothing growing? God, thought you were God. Why ain't I got no watermelons? Because you didn't till the ground. We till the ground by being the light. And letting others see, yes, there is a God. There's a God bigger than me. There's a God that loves me. Let's finish up. If it be possible, as much as life in you, Paul used to be a tough one. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. You know what that shows? Our light. If we can be at peace with one another, showing peace, even to our enemies, trying to just to show love and live in peace and not... there are some that live just for the drama. There are some, their whole existence is based on keeping things stirred up instead of things solved. Don't be a stirrer-upper. Live in peace and shine your light that others may see that peace in you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And I think God can handle things without our help. Vengeance is not our job. Trying to get something back is not our job. It does not do anything but diminish our light in the eyes of others. Because when we act angry or ill or trying to pay someone back, do you realize in that moment, all of a sudden, the light we've been trying to shine all that time can just go away. And then all they see is that nasty, ugly person. And then that's what they hang on to. Yeah, they say they're a Christian all these years. I worked with them, and then boom, look how they really are. That's what they hold on to. That's why we got to protect our light. We got to protect it because people are looking. And we need to understand the importance of what we're carrying. We're carrying our Father's seed. We're carrying it in us. And we're supposed to shine that so others see the beautiful God we serve. How more have I got? Two more. Therefore, if thine enemy is hungry, look, your enemy, don't say your friend. He can take care of your friends. If your enemy's hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him drink. For in so you are heaping coals of fire upon his head. It's hard for someone to be mad at you when you're blessing them. I don't care how much you hate them. I don't like that boss man. He's the meanest supervisor I ever had. I can't stand him. I'll never like him. Hey, here's a $100 bonus. I love you. All of a sudden, that goes away pretty quick. Wow, thanks, boss. He's a good, he's a good boss. Man, he's really, wow, he's a good boss. It can really change, can it, when we heap coals of fire on someone. That's what, you can't be mad at someone that's loving you. They can't get away from it. It's awesome. That's our light. And this last verse, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The best way to fight evil is to shine God's light. That's the best way to, that's the best way is not to try to come to their level and be evil with them. I'll out-evil you. It doesn't work, number one, because they out-evil you again. Then you got to out-evil them again. It's like a poker game, right? You keep anteing up, so to speak. I don't play poker. I'm just saying. You keep anteing up. You can't overcome evil with more evil. It just doesn't work, but you can overcome evil with good, with the light of God, because that light dispels darkness. That's what, you know, Jesus was the light, and he sure overcome evil of death, hell, and the grave for all of us. By the seed he planted at Calvary, he dispelled the judgment and the condemnation that loomed against our lives. Jesus didn't attack his accusers. He didn't come against them. He didn't say, do you know who I really am? He didn't breathe fire upon those Roman soldiers and just burn them to ashes just because he could. But he finished his course, and his good deed of sacrifice destroyed the evil of hell for all of us. Be that light. We are to shine his light. We are not the light, but we are to shine the light. Just like John the Baptist says, I'm not the one. I'm only pointing you to the one that is to come. We're the instrument. Let God use us. He's the hand. We're the glove. He's the foot. We're the shoe. I mean, it just we just got to be, let him use us. And then people will see that. All right, are you ready to go be a light this week? Elizabeth, you are showing your bad light by wearing that Ohio State Buckeye jacket. Wow, Joe Brown's going to love you. I see that. They've already took you in. Has one of their own. I know. Give them that. Do what? Yeah, I know. Shine your light. And for our young people, both of them tonight. Oh, four of them, sorry, the boys. Yeah, I mean, y'all are still young. I'm talking about young people. Then shine your light too. There you go. Shine that light.